Welcome to the Hot Rod Hangout Podcast.
Whoop whoop.
I'm Matt.
And I'm Ashley.
And tonight's episode is going to be a little bit of a different one.
Yeah, it is.
So we made the journey up here. We're up in Moultrie, Georgia. I'm at the Moultrie swap meet for the spring swap meet.
Whoop whoop.
Got the opportunity to come up here, hang out, go to the show.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Ashley actually had to work. Yeah. Fortunately, with the new job, she can work remote. So she had to do the work thing while I got to go play car show.
Yeah.
So this podcast is going to be a little different. Ashley's going to kind of take the lead.
Well, sorry.
And ask some questions, you know, because she wasn't there. So she won't get to experience it till Saturday.
Yep.
Womp, womp, womp.
It's okay.
But it's all good.
I mean, we're still gonna have a conversation like we always do.
Yeah. You know, we're just hanging out. First, you know, like always, make sure that you support the ones that support us. Swap it fast. You know, go out, make that connection. If you're at the Moultrie swap meet, you could have used it to found the parts that you needed. But there's always shows, you know, every show. So get out there, get on, become a buyer. If you got some stuff in the shed you need to sell, become a seller.
Yep. And then, of course, don't forget about Throttle Addict, using the code word Hot Rod, and you get to save 15% off. But
yes, ma'am.
So, you woke up this morning, you got in the truck. I've never been there, so it's at an airport?
It's a retired airstrip.
Okay.
It's a non-functioning airstrip.
Alrighty.
I found out today from a couple of the vendors, there's still, there's a airplane, they work on airplanes.
Mm-hmm.
That's who owns a lot of the buildings.
Okay.
But it's more just storage for those buildings that the swap meet actually occupies as well.
Gotcha.
And then I think a couple of the other businesses are airplane focused, but it's not an actual like fly-in airport anymore.
But like, is the vendors and stuff like actually on the lanes that planes used to take off of?
You come in on the runway.
Okay.
Like the vendor gate, because I got turned around this morning because I didn't, you know, we've never been here before, so I didn't really know where to go. So I was kind of just following the flock.
Gotcha.
And I was excited. So I got there like 30 minutes before general admission gate opened. So at that time, the vendors were coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And you are basically driving down the runway or whatever you want to call it.
Okay.
But I believe, like I said, I believe there may do, like, military may do stuff there.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's more just, you know, touch and go, stuff like that.
Yeah.
More training, less about actually, you know, landing and, you know, going out for that $100 cheeseburger, you know.
Right, right.
I could be wrong.
Okay. So how was it, I mean, was it like any traditional swap meet that we've been to, or was it bigger than that? I mean, we've been to Daytona, and then we've been to like the Sumter. This one
was probably the size of like a good Sumter swap meet.
Mm-hmm.
I did find out the spring one, just like spring turkey in Daytona, is the smaller of the two.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have all the vendor spots open. But I walked around the swap meet today. Got to talk to a couple cool people. Looking forward to having them on.
Yeah.
Just, you know, trying to bridge the gap. You know, we did run into a little bit of I don't know how to do that, stuff like that. Which is kind of what we're trying to get, that little hurdle that we're trying to get over. So,
right.
You know, but then I met a gentleman from Dade City, mm-hmm. or Claremont, rather. He which is funny because we were talking and I'm like, you know, he said something about Claremont and I was like, oh, that's right up the road from us. So, but he more, we've ran into his wife at Turkey.
Oh,
she does, she makes like stuff out of metal signs and,
oh, she's one of those.
Yeah. She's a, so they used to be, we were talking about that too. Which, they were talking about not, they would still go to Daytona, but they're not going to set up anymore because she got pushed from the swap meet because it was more his stuff. And then her stuff was just there to like occupy time. Like, right. You know, some of the people that, like when we were doing the motorcycle swap meet, you know, the husband would have motorcycle parts and then the wife would have her little trinkets and stuff that, yeah. You know, most wives aren't into cars and bikes, like you are. So, you know, the little trinkets and it's still car related stuff, right. But it's more of the artisan. Mm-hmm. So she actually got kicked out last November. She got kicked from the swap meet to the artisan alley.
Oh.
And they don't promote it at all.
Jeez.
So, you know, she just stood there. I think he used the term, she stood there with her finger in her nose all day. But he's got a 34 pickup like hey, Dad has. Mm-hmm. So I gave him my card with my number on it so he could call because I want to get some pictures and try to figure out. Because he's seen the 32 for sale and he's like, why are you selling it? I'm like, because I'm a big boy and I don't really fit. And he was like, well, we about the same size and I fit in my 34. And I'm like, well, and I was telling him about mom and dad and he was like, yeah, man, we'll figure it out. So, and also when Dad listens to this, what we talked about, whenever he calls, that's part of their conversation. And he's, I told him about the cruise on, the third Sunday. Sweet. And they're going to try to make it. He also has a 30 coupe, done. So he doesn't want to trade, you know?
Yeah.
He said, yeah, I got a 30 coupe. And I was like, oh really? Like we should trade. And he was like, no, it's done. And I was like, we could still trade, but he wasn't going for it. So, which I got it. He showed me a picture of it. And I was like, ah, I wouldn't trade either. I mean, I would 100% trade it.
Right.
It'd be a really, really good deal for us.
Yes.
Not a good deal for him, but you know, and then, talk to, there's a gentleman, he sells cleaning products, you know, our age, he's a hustler. Literally when I walked up, he's like, I do everything, tinning, detailing, you know, he sells his products, looking forward, he's going to come on, kind of share the products that he has, and then talk to a couple other guys, you know, really pumped for what we were doing. Mm-hmm. And like I said, you know, we had a good portion of, I don't know how to do that, or, oh, I don't listen to podcasts, but,
yeah,
you know, that's, we're not going to get everybody. Mm-hmm. And this kind of is, you know, we're trying to bridge a gap.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was a little less than I thought it was going to be. Mm-hmm. Size-wise and amount of vendor-wise, which I also come to realize, I was told that he usually didn't do it on Thursdays. This is the first Thursday. So a lot of the vendors were just getting there and setting up today. So hopefully I have to walk the swap meet again tomorrow. Dang, that's a shame. But I did buy something.
You did?
I did. I bought a wiper blade.
A wiper
blade? For Dad's 34.
Oh, goodness.
I called Dad and was like, hey, I bought you a wiper blade. And he's like, do I need a wiper blade? And I was like, I don't know.
But you will eventually.
I was like, I don't know, but... We were talking about it being hard to find, and I found one, so it's brand new. So that's cool.
So you'll end up having to walk the swap meet again tomorrow.
Hopefully. Hopefully there's more people there tomorrow.
Yeah.
But well, like I said, you know, they the spring show, and, you know, we didn't really know going into it, you know. We didn't really know. We were told that Moultrie was a good show.
Yeah.
They should have clarified that November is the Moultrie November. To come to.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was still a good time, and we still got to hang out with car people, or yeah. I got to hang out with car people. So that was good.
Well, I hope that you have enough leg in you to walk around it again on Saturday with me.
Yeah, definitely. Well,
because, you know, I have a collection I need to add to, you know.
Oh.
Yeah.
So Saturday, I guess we're doing everything. I was saving the car show for you. But
well, we're going to definitely do the car show.
That's adding all of it then. I should have just went on Saturday.
I'm sorry.
No, it's all good.
Well, you just scout them out tomorrow. And then Saturday, when I'm with you, we'll do the car show because, you know, I need to take my pictures.
Yeah.
But Saturday, we'll do the car show. And then you'll be like, I had these. Let's go. And if they're still there, then it was meant to be. Right?
Yeah.
But.
So we, like I said, it was, they do have indoor mm-hmm. stuff. And the indoor stuff is more, that was where the detailer guy was.
Yeah.
It's more of the non-car parts, more of like the car trinkets.
Gotcha.
Except for there was obsolete Ford parts was actually in there too, which is an elder gentleman. I talked to him for a little while too. Basically, the parts that you can no longer get, he has a source. He wouldn't share the source, but
because he's monopolizing on that.
But like Model A, mostly Model A, Model T parts.
Where's he? Did you get where he's from?
No. No. I've seen his website just okay. in looking on the stuff, you know.
Yeah. You and your little wormholes that you go down.
Yeah.
But anyway, and then we got a couple ideas for food around the area.
Some food recommendations. The one closes at 2:00, so we won't be able to hit that at all. Because it's actually where our hotel is.
Yeah.
Not where the show is.
Yeah.
So it's not even like we could leave and go eat and come back.
Nope. Because we're what? How long did it take you to get there this morning?
About 25, 30 minutes.
Oh, that's not bad.
No. I did have a really good sausage, egg, and cheese sandwich.
Where'd you get that from?
Show.
Oh. Okay.
And he says he makes a really good Philly, and I told him I'd try it. So that's on the list for tomorrow. I didn't really hang out. I left a little early. Kind of did it like we do the motorcycle swap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Once it gets the heat of the day, it's not that it's really the heat of the day up here right now.
No. But yeah, like when people started to not be walking around, it was like, okay. Let me pack my toys and go home.
Yeah.
You know.
And I feel like that's like no matter where you go, cuz even like when we've been to like the last time we were in Daytona too. It was like, okay, like, everybody's there. Everybody's having a great time in the morning. And then, like, between 12 and 2, it's like people start to disperse. And then that's when the afternoon, evening stuff starts.
Yeah.
But I don't know what the afternoon, evening, like, is there even, or is it because it's springtime, there's nothing in the afternoon, evening?
I don't know. And there wasn't a whole lot of, I was really surprised. And I guess it kind of goes back to, you know, like pumping stuff up in your head. Mm-hmm. We'd heard so much good stuff about Moultrie.
Right.
Like I was expecting, you know, Daytona. I had planned to try to do a YouTube video every day.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to turn into one video.
Yeah.
You know, partially because we haven't quite figured out the whole filming situation.
Yeah.
And I've realized certain stuff is harder to film. Mm-hmm. You know, it's hard to film swap meets.
Yeah.
Because you don't really want to get everybody in it. Mm-hmm. Anything that's for sale.
It's not going to be
there whenever you see the video. So, or if you do comment like, hey, where's that at? You know, mm-hmm. here you go.
Yeah.
you know, he's back to wherever he's at. And if I didn't talk to him, I don't know where he's at. So, but that goes back to, you know, go to Swap It Fast and, you know, put in your little search thing and, you know, you can find it before you get there.
Yeah.
So.
Goodness. Do you think that maybe, like, maybe not necessarily the spring one, but the fall, well, no, the fall one is so close. Anyway, do you think that it would be a show, swap meet, that we would bring our vehicles to?
I don't, like I said, I stayed out of the car corral and the gotcha. Car show today.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I was still in my head, I was still trying, like, okay, we're going to do day one swap meet, day mm-hmm. two car corral, day three car show.
Right.
So I was kind of still in that mindset when I was walking. And then by the time I realized, like, oh, this isn't going to be enough,
mm-hmm.
I was already, like, not walked out, but, like, I didn't want to go back.
Yeah, I got
you know, because the car show, they that is one thing Moultrie does a very good job of separating.
Yeah.
You know, the swap meet is pretty much contained,
mm-hmm.
and then the car show and the car corral is, you know, not part of,
right.
you know, where Daytona, it's kind of, you don't really know where, because Daytona has like a car show, not car show.
Yeah.
And then they have the car show, and then yeah. they have the car corral, and that blend.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to distinguish between, you know.
Yeah, and I feel like, and I could just be remembering it wrong, this past year was a little bit more blended than it was the first time we went. Because, like, there was a clear definitive line, like, this is the fence between the car corral and the car show.
Yeah.
And you could tell the difference. Like, okay, well, that one clearly has a for sale sign in the window.
Right.
These ones are all, like, okay, he's out there buffing the paint. Like, there's...
Yeah.
It was clear and definitive, and this time there were so many, which was awesome because we got so many pictures. It was a great time. But it was, there was a point behind like some bleachers or something where it kind of like meshed together because the car corral had overfilled and the car show had overfilled.
Yeah. It had gotten, which I mean, I feel like Daytona just in itself, because of how big it is.
Mm-hmm.
But I was talking to a gentleman today, a vendor, and he said that, you know, the spring Daytona, he said he said we'll make a decision next year if we go back.
Yeah.
Just because it's like, and he was a large vendor, mm-hmm. so he's like, by the time I lay everything out,
yeah,
he goes, you know, they're packing up. He goes, the same with here. He goes, you know, taking Sunday away, he goes, there's really no point in me spending the night Saturday night, so I'm going to start packing up Saturday morning.
Yeah.
So I'm not here packing up all night.
Yeah.
He's like, so basically it kills the last day, whereas when there was a Sunday,
mm-hmm.
you know, I could put my big stuff, you know, or pack up the little stuff and get it kind of preset to go in the trailer. And then at the end of the day, all right, boom.
Yeah.
And then get on the road Monday morning.
Yeah.
Not like, you know, little stuff like that. But, and also, you know, these guys that, you know, we see the same cars, you know, they, like Moultrie.
Mm-hmm.
When we were at Daytona, you would see the Moultrie Car Corral sticker in the windshield. Like, they didn't right. sell it here. So now they're going to go to Daytona and they're going to try to sell it. And you're just trying to get as much exposure as you can.
Yeah. And especially in the fall, I feel, because we've been warned about the Daytona spring, that it's not as big and vast as the fall. But, like, if you're someone coming from, like, Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, anywhere, like, that's across the country.
Yeah.
Or vertically across the country. Yeah. You know.
A ways.
Yeah. When you're coming down for Moultrie, which is the week before Daytona, you might as well go to Daytona, too.
Yeah.
Especially if you don't sell it in Moultrie. If you sell in Moultrie, okay, well, now you save money, go home. But
it's, or you go to Daytona and you enjoy that swap meet with money yeah. in your pocket.
That's true.
And you buy another something.
I was going to say buy another something.
But so hopefully tomorrow is a bigger turnout. I mean, it was good. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of the before we went in the gate, because like I said, I got there about 30 minutes before the general gate opened.
Yeah.
And I noticed people started lining up in front of the ticket booth about 15 minutes early. So I went thinking, oh, like we can buy our tickets.
Yeah.
That wasn't the case. we just stood there and BS for 10 minutes. But talking to them, and it was, you know, it made me realize there's a bigger, gap that we need to bridge, because swap meets are dying. Yeah. I mean, you know, I was talking to a guy, and I know that this is the, and we keep saying this, but this is the spring version. Mm-hmm. It's not as big as the fall, but he was talking about, he goes, you know, you used to get here at 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
He goes, gate didn't open till 8. Mm-hmm. And he's like, they were running shuttles to bring people to the line because, you know, and he goes, we're here 30 minutes early. Mm-hmm. And there's 10 of us.
Right.
Which, you know, the internet has kind of made it where you don't have to go tromp through a swap meet. So it's a double-edged sword, and, you know, we live in social media.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's, I guess we're trying to be part of the solution, mm-hmm. but our generation is also part of the problem.
Yeah.
But, like I said, it's definitely a good time, and definitely, for me, swap meets aren't just about buying parts.
Oh, of course not.
You know, or I mean, even before the podcast, like, talk to people, you know, running into that guy from 30 minutes from us.
Right.
You know, and he's seen the 32 posted, and he's like, yeah, I got a buddy that, you know, he's a 32 nut, and he also deals with Model A's, and keep an eye out.
Yeah.
And making those acquaintances that could become friends.
Yeah.
You know, like when we were doing this, the motorcycle swap meet, you know, yeah. We were the new kids on the block there for a little while, and the vendors got to know us for what we had.
Yeah.
You know, at least the quality of parts, mm-hmm. you know, they might not know our inventory exactly, but
right.
You know, if you needed this, mm-hmm. there was a good chance that you could go over and talk to us and we'd have it.
Yeah.
So making those connections, not only for parts, but for information, for mm-hmm. for knowledge. And that's kind of what we need, or not kind of, that's what we need to be doing,
right.
Is because you have these, you know, the... I'm going to go on a slight little rant, but okay. You have the older generation, and I'm not picking, but you have the older generation that doesn't want to, for lack of a better way to say it, waste their time. Mm-hmm. So they want to make sure that we're not just trying the easy pass.
Right.
We actually want to learn this stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes that gets taken out mm-hmm. of not context, but that gets taken as, oh, well, that guy just doesn't want to talk to me. Well, no, he doesn't want to sit down with you for 3 hours and right. quote unquote teach you something mm-hmm. if you don't care.
Right.
And then also on the flip side of that, you have the younger generation that, you know, the older generation doesn't remember that their older generation didn't understand what they were doing.
Right.
So us as you know, the middle, because there's the younger generation below us that we don't necessarily understand what they're, you know, what's going on in their head.
Right.
But the older generation above us didn't understand what we were doing.
Yeah.
You know, and everything. I was talking to Dad today while I was at the show, and he said something, and we've said it numerous times, but it didn't really, it clicked, but it didn't really solidly click until today, because we were standing there talking, and I'm like, you know, there's just something missing. There's some way, there has to be some way that we can connect this, and I said it, and he kind of like in unison said it, everything old is new. We're all doing the same. Every generation does the same thing at roughly the same age. We just do it differently.
Okay.
You know, back when my dad was, you know, 16, that generation was that age. They were stink bucking cars. They were jacking the rear end of the car up because that was supposed to give it traction. It's not. It just looks cool. You know, but they didn't know that.
Right.
And the generation above them was like, that's stupid. Why would you do that? But that's what they were doing. The younger generation of us or below us are doing the squatted trucks. Yeah. And we're all like, why would you do that? Well, it's just their version of doing something different.
Yeah.
You know. Guilty as charged. Cut the mufflers off. Like, they were doing that back in the 60s and 70s. It sounded faster.
Yeah.
But it actually slows your car down. But it sounds fast, you know. And the same with here, you know. Oh, I'm getting the exhaust done. What are you doing? I'm sawzalling the muffler off and putting a straight pipe between it. You know, like, we all do the same stuff. We just all have to remember that it's the same. We were all trying to accomplish the same goal, and that's enjoying your car.
Yeah.
Truck, whatever it is, motorcycle, you know, it goes across the board. We're all just trying to do stuff to our stuff, our rides, to make them ours.
Right.
Whether it's making it louder, making it lower, making it taller, making it weird, you know, like
ratty,
different. Yeah, you know, like rat rods. There's so many different avenues in the car culture that you kind of have to take a minute and go, okay, I did that.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't LS swap everything. But the reason that our generation LS swaps everything is the same reason that if a motor blew up in their car in our age group, or when they were our age, a motor blew up, you put a small block Chevrolet in it.
Right.
The reason is small block Chevrolets were cheap. Mm-hmm. Parts to make a small block Chevrolet go fast are cheaper
yes.
than a Ford or Dodge, or definitely cheaper than anything that has hemi, you know, a hemispherical head design, you know. Coolest looking motor, but also the most expensive. So the LS of this is just what it is. Yeah. It's the cheap motor option for right now. You know, you're starting to see more Coyote motors pop up because there's new Coyote motors that are more sought after. So you're starting to find them in the junkyard. So you'll start seeing more Ford-powered Ford cars.
And I know I got to ask this one question. With Coyotes becoming more accessible, would you ever put a Ford motor in any of your vehicles?
I would put a Ford in a Ford. The Coyote platform, I mean, we, you know, I'm from the generation of LS Swap the World.
Yeah.
But the Coyote platform itself, that motor is a great motor. It's just for the longest time, it's been, I mean, you still fight the upgrades, upgrade cost of a Coyote motor versus an LS. The aftermarket has ran. I mean, you can basically buy anything you want for an LS motor. And there's so many different manufacturers that the cost has to be lower because they're competing. Whereas Ford Motors, I don't know all the technical tech terms. I'm not a Coyote expert by any stretch. but, you know, like a mod motor or whatever, like there's so much you can do to you. There's so much you can add to them without going into them. They are a stronger motor from factory. But when that motor breaks or when you have to upgrade, now you're more money. So, yes, definitely, you know, but back in the day, you know, there was, you know, built Ford Tough with Chevy stuff. I mean, that was the saying because, you know, you could either rebuild your 302 Ford or you could go buy a small block 350 and swap it. Well, I can buy a small block 350 and the headers are half the price and heads are half the price and everything for that motor is half the price, or I can spend the same amount to rebuild this 302 back to stock. So it's just, it made more sense to swap in a small block, a Chevrolet motor.
And you only go one way. You do not go the other.
You know, but, and there has been a couple I've seen. There's builds popping up with the Coyote motor. Because the Coyote motor is a very, very strong motor. I mean, they're, they're the amount of stuff, the amount of power with reliability that the Ford motor has, the LS can't compete with that.
And and please correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like because, you know, we've watched like documentaries and stuff like that, because I would like to know at least a quarter of what you know when it comes to vehicles. But, like, we've watched some documentaries and stuff like that of, like, the history of Ford and Chevy and da-da-da-da-da. And I feel like each, at least American-made, each manufacturer, each company has had their glory days almost. Like, so, like, we might be coming off of the LS Swap the World and Coyote or No Way, and now it's going to be Ford-driven.
Oh yeah,
for lack of better words, if that makes sense.
But also, and that's a good point. Even in newer cars, you know, I was talking to somebody. I think it was at work, and it was at work. We were talking in the office, and someone called me a Chevy guy.
Yeah,
just funny because I drive a Ram, but you know, I'm notoriously a Chevy guy.
Yes,
and it's kind of like, if you're born in the state of Florida, you're assigned a college sports team at birth.
Right.
Like, you don't know why, but, like, I like the Seminoles. I don't watch football. I don't watch baseball. Like, I don't really watch, other than drag racing.
Yeah.
I don't really watch any sport. But I was a Seminole fan. I have no clue why. My mom and dad aren't Seminole fans, but, like, that was literally just what this it was.
Your chosen path.
You know, you pick, you know, like, I think there's a spot on a Florida birth certificate that says what college team. Like, are you a Gator? Are you a Seminole? Are you Miami?
Right.
You know, that's right off rip. And back, I would even say 20, 30 years ago, if your grandpa drove a Ford, your dad drove a Ford. You bought a Ford.
Right.
There was no like, oh, I'm going to buy a Chevrolet. No, no, no. No, no. We're a Ford family. Or we're a Chevy family.
You know, I just realized something. my dad, he is, and I mean, I can't know this for sure, but remembering what vehicles he drove as I was growing up, he's a Ford guy.
Yeah.
Did not know that.
That explains
I
a lot.
Just, that explains a lot.
No.
You switched me to Chevy girl, so.
But, and that's what it is, you know, you would just, and at those times, you know, in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, even into the 80s, the early 90s, there was a difference.
Mm-hmm.
To say one is better, that's not.
Right.
They all had their problems.
Mm-hmm.
They all had, you know, like we say with the old cars, like you have to deal with your bullshit.
Right.
They all had their bullshit.
Yeah.
Dodge still can't build a transmission. but they put one of the best diesel motors in front of the crappy transmission,
mm-hmm.
which makes absolutely no sense. You know, Chevrolet has their problems. Ford have their problems. They all have problems.
Yeah.
They all have their quirks. They all have, you know, mm-hmm. If you find a square body Chevrolet, and the cab corners haven't been replaced, they're going to need replaced. Yeah. Like, that's just what it is.
Yeah.
You know, 50s, early 50s Chevrolet cars. Really any. You can say it about any, but Chevrolet gets a bad rap. If it's an early 50s Chevrolet, it's going to need a trunk pan. Like, that's what it is. And, of course, there's exceptions to those rules.
Right.
You know, Michelangelo's trunk pan's really, really decent.
Yeah.
For as old as it is.
Yeah.
For original. But I'm pretty sure if we ever pull the carpet out of that car, I'm pretty sure we're going to find some some tin cans probably welded to the, you know, like.
You know, it'd be awesome. We pull that up and there's license plates already replacing
panels. I know there's at least one under there.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
So, but if you remember, if you're looking at the bottom of that car,
mm-hmm.
there's one of the little mini keg.
There is. Yep.
In the engine compartment.
And what is it, the driver's side where you have the wheel off and you go underneath?
Yeah.
Yes.
So, I mean.
Is it? Was
course.
Course?
Yeah.
I know it was blue or something.
Yeah, it was silver. Silver. Silver with blue mountains. But, you know, and that's, there's so many, like, to, and that was kind of why, like, I don't care what it is. You know, mm-hmm. I can appreciate everything. But there are still people. My dad, I believe the guy that built the tonneau cover for the, I believe that's who built the tonneau cover for the S10, my dad's little drag truck that we built. He's a diehard Ford guy.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't care how nice the Chevrolet is. He will go look at a rotted Mustang sitting next to it.
Yeah.
You know, and that's dyed in the wool. Mm-hmm. You're a Ford guy.
Yeah.
You were assigned that at birth. Mm-hmm. You know, that was, and it's starting to get a little bit, you know,
more lenient,
more, well, because people are realizing, I mean, they're, every company, especially in now cars, every company sells a good product,
right?
You know, they've all had their problems. Mm-hmm. They've all had their, what were you thinkings? you know, and that's not just in small cars, you know. Me and my dad worked on semis for a while, and, you know, you'd get the latest and greatest semi design, and you're like, that's never going to work. And then it would not work, and you're like, oh, shocked. Like, yeah. You know, but that's how innovation happens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to remember, like, back in the early 20s, the early 1910s, you know, these were carriage vehicles. They were toted behind horses,
mm-hmm.
and they put a motor on them.
Yeah.
They left the wood wheels.
Right.
Like, top speed was like 30. And that was like downhill with a wind to your back. Like, they were never designed, or at the time, they were never designed to do what we're doing with them.
Yeah.
You know, they always joke that Henry Ford rolls over when you put an LS or a Chevy motor in a Ford. But, like, even the 32, when the plant, that was still on the plan to build, immediately when I said I'm going to put a V8 in it, I immediately ordered boxing plates.
Yeah.
That frame was never, I mean, that frame had a four-cylinder in it when it came from factory.
Mm-hmm.
It probably made 30 horse.
Yeah.
You know, so even a small block in stock form, you know, is going to make 40. No. Yeah. you know, and especially if you go newer. Mm-hmm. You know, a newer platform motor with fuel injection, you're more reliable. They're more, I mean, there's four bangers out there making 300 horse now. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
But that's the innovation that pushes it. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of where I want to reiterate. And we've said it, I've said it before, but I really, really, really want to make sure that everyone out there understands it doesn't matter what other people are doing to their cars.
Right.
Build your car, mm-hmm. or if you have the money and you don't care to say, like, oh, I bought it, mm-hmm. have someone build it the way you want it built.
Yeah. And give credit where credit is due.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
But, you know, and there's plenty. Me and Dad were talking before we come up here, or before, you know, we left to come up here. There's plenty of unfinished projects.
Oh, yeah.
That need pushed across the finish line. Some of them legit need pushed. But, you know, and the guy that puts the last bolt in is the guy that built the car.
Yeah.
You know, there's guys out there that, you know, they're really, really good body work. Mm-hmm. But couldn't put paint on to save their lives.
Right.
There's really, really good engine guys that can't do body work.
Or interior.
Or interior. Or, you know, interior is, I see some of these interiors and I'm like, man, that's so crazy. That metal, that door panel I sent you, mm-hmm. with the dude, it's a bead rolled door panel with the dude holding a shifter.
Yeah.
It's cool as crap. I have no clue. I wish I could find the video of the guy cut rolling it.
Yeah.
Just to see how he did it. Not that I could ever do it.
Because, I mean, we've watched with the fish scales.
Japan's.
Yeah, we've watched him do it, and, like, that makes sense to me. That's logical. Like, I can watch him do it, and I'm like, okay, I could never do that, but...
You could, but it would just take a lot of practice, and that's right. That's another thing that you have to understand, and everyone needs to understand. Just because you're not where you're at, or not where you want to be, mm-hmm. they all started where you're at.
Yeah.
You know, no matter what part of the car industry you start in or you want to get involved in, everyone started at the same place. Mm-hmm. Not saying that they may not have had an inclination towards a certain aspect of it. You know, I'm pretty sure Chip Foose was a good drawer before he started drawing cars. but his renderings are crazy. You know, Ken Diggit, that guy, his renderings are awesome. But that's a very, very good example of surrounding yourself with people that can make your visions come true.
Right.
Ken Diggit himself have said, I can't build cars, mm-hmm. but I have really, really good ideas.
Yeah.
So he put people in place that can do that crazy body line or that body mod and he's killing it. But he literally started that company as a rendering company. He was never going to build a car. He was just going to do renderings for people that had projects and they wanted to see what it was. And then it turned into like, oh, we could build this.
Yeah.
And he surrounded himself with friends and, you know, has made, they just won the Riddler. then that car is retarded or not retarded. That car is... It's retarded. It's awesome. But, you know, it's And he got a lot of flack for that car because he has a production car that looks similar.
Ooh.
But the production car is fiberglass. That is an all-aluminum bodied car. It took 5 years to build the car. And, like, that car is amazing. But the guy that's building in his garage with his buddies and a couple beers, or if you don't like beer, whiskey, or, you know, and driving the thing that you did isn't less cool. If anything, it's more cool because, you know, you get to say, oh, you know, that perfectly imperfect dent that's in the door, like, I put that there.
Yep.
That's my bad, you know, or I got a little close to something, you know, and
those scratches came from our canopy that was covering,
you know, and that, and yeah. And also, you know, you have people out there and if it's not, the checklist, like they don't want it. And you just have to accept that you're not going to make everybody happy. Yeah. But as long as the person that owns the car likes it, that's all that matters. Like, you know, just, and there's an example and you'll see it in the YouTube video and I will post, in the video, I will make sure that I write a caption or talk over it.
Yeah.
There's a Mustang at the Moultrie show that you could win. My first thought when I walked up to it was that'd be way cooler if it was not that color. They took a chance. The guy that built it loves it.
Yeah.
I didn't walk up and go, man, that's crap. Why would you do that? I was just like, oh, that's cool. You know, yeah. It's an awesome paint.
Yeah.
I'll say it. It's Chrome Illusion. Chameleon paint.
Oh. Okay.
Which that paint color, I learned this from my dad when he was working for Lee Krause. That paint was never supposed to paint a car. Oh. That was supposed to be a graphic. You're not supposed to paint the whole car that, but it changes colors.
Right.
You know, it's purple, it's brown, it's this, it's that, you know, and the whole car changes colors. It's cool. Just not for me.
Right. I'd have to agree.
You know,
and I've seen cars that have that and they're cool. Just, I don't. And like, I feel like, okay, that would definitely stand out at a car show. Like it's a car that changes colors.
Well, to me, looking at the paint, I've never seen one, and this might just be I've never seen it done exceptional. To me, the paint, the way it changes, makes it look like there's issues with the body.
Gotcha.
The best way I can describe it is like tiger stripes. Like, while it's transitioning, there's certain parts where it's changing,
right,
that it didn't fully change, and it looks streaky.
Yeah.
And that may be how it's supposed to. I don't know. I'm not a painter.
Yeah.
Hence the original paint on one car and bare metal planned for the other one.
And I also feel like with that kind of paint too, just even like not so much like walking past it, but even just standing still looking at it, like you don't know how, I mean, maybe they do. I wouldn't know how the paint would react to the body lines of the vehicle.
And that's another thing. I suppose you'd have to take into account that. And that may be the reaction or the effect that I'm seeing.
Right.
But that's the one awesome thing about cars is me and you, mom and dad, and 46 other people could look at a car and I'm going to find things that I like and I dislike about it or would change, not necessarily dislike,
right,
but things that like, oh, I would have done that differently. doesn't mean that his way is wrong or her way is wrong.
Right.
It just means that I wouldn't have done it that way.
Mm-hmm.
But my "that's awesome" or "I would change that" is going to be different than mine and yours are going to be close.
Yeah.
Mom and dad's are going to be close.
Yeah.
Mine and dad's are going to be close. Mm-hmm. But the reason mine and dad's are close is because I grew up following what he, you know, and we don't agree on everything.
Yeah.
But that's the cool part,
mm-hmm.
is we don't have to agree on everything.
Yeah.
You have your, like his truck, and we always joke about his hood.
Yeah.
But I told him today, I said, the hood don't look bad.
Yeah.
It's really just a joke.
Yeah.
You know, and now it's actually turned into like just a joke because I really don't want him to take the hood off that truck because it kind of fits the rest of the truck.
Yeah.
You know, but it's more just a ribbon and it's the same, you know, there's a lot of things for me on a car that can really flip it one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
The wrong wheels.
Yeah.
The wrong size wheels.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you have a classic muscle car, it should not have 22s and 24s and then slammed. It, like, I get donks, or I don't understand donks, but if you're going to jack a car up to put giant wheels underneath of it, if that's your thing, cool.
Yeah.
But, like, rubber band tires on a quote unquote muscle car doesn't make sense to me.
Right.
Squatted trucks, rubber band tires on a four wheel drive doesn't make sense to me.
Right.
But if that's what you dig, do it. Have fun with your vehicle.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what it is. And also, you know, I lean more towards the pre-65 cars. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean that your 72 C10 I don't find cool as shit. That doesn't mean that your C7 Corvette with a Pro Charger, I'm not like I'm going to walk past that either. I'm going to stop and definitely going to take a look at it.
Yeah.
You can like certain eras or certain cars.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay. But we all have to accept, especially with the cost of those cars now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a reason that you drive by a school parking lot and there's 15, 20-year-old Honda Civics.
Yeah.
Well, that's the kid that his mom and dad couldn't afford to go buy him a C7 to drive to, you know.
I had a 94 Geo Metro in my...
You know, I was fortunate. I had cool cars. But I come from a car family.
Yeah.
So, you know, I had the mini truck for a little while and then the Rump Ranger. It got smashed. So it had black bed on it. And then, you know, my dad bought that C10 and I ended up with it.
Mm-hmm.
So I always had... I mean, I had cooler cars, but they were old.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't have a new car. You know, I graduated in 08 and my first truck was an 82.
Yeah.
You know, so I fit that, you know, 20 year old.
Yeah.
Mine almost
wasn't,
30.
Yeah. Mine wasn't quite 20 years old, but I mean, I was 16 with a 16 year old car.
Yeah. So, but there's a reason that that's what it is. That's what they can afford.
Yeah.
And maybe it's not their dream car. You know, maybe they'd rather be in an A or a 32 coupe, or and who wouldn't want to be in a 32 coupe? But, you know, or maybe they want the C10.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they want, you know, they're, but what they could afford was a Civic hatchback or an IROC Camaro. Like, it's not a classic.
Yeah.
But that's what they could get their hands on. Mm-hmm. That was the type of car they wanted, and that's what they could get their hands on. So, and I'm guilty I'll admit it. I'm guilty of, like, you know, I do it, you know, go get the car you want. And I'm guilty of saying, you know, like, oh, you know, but really and truthfully, it's whatever car I've said it. And I meant it every time I said it, but whatever car makes you happy, mm-hmm. just be happy.
Yeah.
You know, if you're happy with a brand new Civic and that makes you, you know, if that gets you up and wanting to drive your car, go for it. You know, if you're, you know, a Silverado, Ram, you know, if you like turbo noises and you want a truck, you get a diesel, you know, just, we need to be accepting of everyone.
Yeah.
Because you don't know until you talk to the person, you don't know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's been a couple people that we've had guests on the podcast that we have talked about the older generation being some type of way. Mm-hmm. And in talking with people, I've come to a conclusion, and I had this suspicion of this is what it was, but it kind of got confirmed more. And it's, you know, like I said earlier in this podcast, you know, if you're just trying to get into this, like, this is their world.
Yeah.
This is the older generation's world. You know, hot rods, custom cars, you know, these guys have put their time in, they've put their dues in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not an age thing, but if you're just now trying to get in, we have to accept that it may take longer than 5 minutes to get that guy or girl that's already in this world to want to share knowledge.
Yeah.
They might not be sharing knowledge just because they don't want to waste either one of your times.
Yeah. And I feel like, too, you know, as somebody that, you know, wasn't in the car community at all, but the thing that wanted to get me into it, and I'll say it on the podcast, was a Ford Mustang. I saw it when I was a kid, and I fell in love, and, you know, that still has a near and dear spot in my heart, but there's other vehicles that I would rather have right now. But as someone that's still new to the whole atmosphere of it all, like, yes, I do know some stuff, and the stuff that I do know, I mainly learn from you, but I'm getting more and more confident, or try to, in the stuff that you've taught me. But, like, when I go to talk to other people about it, I quiet down because I don't want it to come off like, oh, like, you don't know what you're talking about, so you're wasting my time. So I don't want to fill you in with all of this stuff. So I end up letting them just talk to you, and then I get all of my knowledge from the conversations that you hold.
Oh, and that's another thing is, one, you also can't be scared to make mistakes. You can't be scared to ask the silly questions. But I do understand what you're saying, and you can learn a lot by just opening your ears and keeping your mouth shut.
Mm-hmm.
But we also, on the flip side of what I said about the older generation kind of, for lack of a better way to say, gatekeeping the information, the younger generation also has to understand that if you do it correctly, we can make this great.
Mm-hmm.
Also, if you're someone in this generation that has got knowledge, don't hide that knowledge away. Mm-hmm. If you see a kid, my biggest thing, and it's memories that I've had going to shows with my dad, but my biggest, it still puts a smile on my face when I see it at car shows now, mm-hmm. or at cruises or whatever, you know, any car event, whether it's a Sunday cruise, whether it's a swap meet, whether it's a show, whether it's whatever,
yeah.
is the little kid that's fascinated. Mm-hmm. But they've been told to keep their hand, and they're behaving.
Yeah.
They've been told to keep their hands in their pockets all day. They've done it. Mm-hmm. But they really, really want to sit in that car. And the guy opens the door up and puts them in the car.
Yeah.
You know, that memory is the right memory. Mm-hmm. We want to put our best foot forward every time we have an interaction.
Right.
Because you don't know the other person's situation. And it goes both ways. Mm-hmm. You know, if you are the younger guy approaching the older guy, have respect that he's been in this for a while, mm-hmm. and they'll talk cars.
Yeah. They'll talk your ear off.
If you come correct to them, mm-hmm. and you are asking from a place of, I really want to know this information, yeah. they'll share it. Mm-hmm. The same, we have to be the same. And I'm using us as an example, but if we're out in the 54 or the next project and an older person or even somebody our age walks up to us, talk to them. Mm-hmm. Respect them, because you don't know where they're at.
Right.
You know, that guy that, you know, it only gets drove on Sunday. You know, he takes his wife out for ice cream. You know, he may have fought two wars, and, you know, his stories may be the best thing that you've ever heard.
Right.
But if you automatically write him off, and it's easy to look at somebody and go, oh, he's not going to talk to me because, you know, I have tattoos or I have a flat bill or I this or, you know, we don't look the same. Mm-hmm. That guy could be your new best friend.
Yeah.
And the same with, you know, if the, you know, there's a guy with a rat rod and he's covered in tattoos and got nose rings and a face tat. And, you know, if you're of the older generation, walk up, talk to him. Mm-hmm. Y'all may be more alike. Well, you already have something in common. You like cars.
Right.
You know, that is the one thing across the board. If you're at a car event, you have something in common. Mm-hmm. Y'all might not like the same type of cars. Y'all might not like y'all might not walking around through a swap meet with somebody that shares a different interest with you may get you to like go, oh, that's why they did that.
Right.
You know, a good, for instance, I was walking around today and it was, I would probably say the guy was in his mid to late 40s. Mm-hmm. And there was a coupe on a trailer, complete Model A coupe. I'm not good at identifying them. No signage, which I don't understand. You had a car for sale and you don't put a window. So. But anyway. Okay. That's another tangent. price your stuff. But there was nobody around, so you couldn't really ask questions. But mm-hmm. And he pointed out something on the car And I don't even remember what it was, but he pointed something out and he was like, I wonder why they did this. Mm-hmm. And I was, you know, we weren't walking together. We were just looking at the same car at the same time. And I was like, oh, well, he did that because, oh, the wood, you know, Model A's have wood in the interior.
Right.
The wood was chopped. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I wonder why he cut the wood. Like, that wood would have went all the way to the roof. And I was like, it looks like he would plan it on chopping it before he got here. Because there was still tape with lines.
Oh, jeez.
there wasn't tape. I'm sorry, there wasn't tape. There was Sharpie lines.
Yeah.
Where he was, like, kind of planning, like, if I cut it here and I, you know, mm-hmm. it had the Z line on the back window. Like, yeah. So that was the plan. But if you're a traditional non-chop guy, you may have never looked at that. Mm-hmm. You know, you go look at a chopped car for the first time and you've done it. Mm-hmm. You know, why is it cut like that? Well, if you cut it in a Z pattern, you get to keep more of your window.
Right.
You know, oh, that makes more mm-hmm. sense.
Yeah.
You know, and if I wouldn't have been standing there, he'd have went home not knowing that information. Mm-hmm. Or maybe the next time, tomorrow, I see the same guy and I'm like, something looks off. And he goes, oh, well, they rolled it because they, you know, wanted to do this. You know, stuff, not everyone is born knowing everything. Mm-hmm. And there's so much to learn as long as you keep your mouth shut and your ears open enough to learn it. Mm-hmm. If you old, young, middle, whatever, everyone can learn something from everyone.
Right.
This is all one big family. We all should. I won't say we all do, but we all should want the best for everyone that's doing it.
Right.
It might not be your cup of tea, but I guarantee that somebody out there is going to dig what you're doing.
Yeah.
So, with that being said, make sure you go check out Swap It Fast. They were at Swap Meet. That's actually who gave us the opportunity to come up. We mm-hmm. appreciate them. They talked to a lot of people today that I seen.
Yeah.
Getting some more buyers, some more vendors on there. And the bigger that grows, the better that that platform's going to get. I'm excited to see where they go.
And don't forget to go to Throttle Addict and use the code word Hot Rod and you get to save 15% off.
Hell yeah.
We're not cleater.
I didn't say brother. But again, there's another car guy, you know, that, you know, he's the, you know, more race car, more performance side, burnouts. He's
everything.
Oh, well, he stays out of the old.
Yeah, that's, you know, true.
Until I mean, he
pulls the
86 El Camino or whatever. But yeah. Other than that, you know, but he's more focused on the drag racing and the Crown Vic racing and the burnouts.
And the helicopters and the planes.
But again, you know, that's another avenue.
Yeah.
You know, it's not wrong. Mm-mm. And that's basically what the takeaway I want everyone to have from this episode is there is no wrong way as long as you dig what you're doing, keep doing what you're doing,
yep.
And drive your shit.
See ya.
Later, guys.